Compassion for people is the result of having a passion for God. It's not about getting people to come here. It's about equipping us and sending us out into the world. There's a lot of people who need to know Jesus. I'm great to be a part of what's happening in this family, and I'm sure you are as well. Who are you? That's the question. Who are you? Started a series last week. We're doing using Ephesians as our catalyst to study about who we are in Christ. So I want to continue our theme today. As we begin, I want you to introduce yourself to someone beside you. Tell them who you are, but don't tell them your name. See, last week we discovered that you are in transition. You are because He is. You are His temple. You are valuable. Introduce yourself. Don't use your name. Tell them who you are. Go ahead. That's a hard one. Silence, just hush, comes over the whole congregation. Isn't it true, though, when we say, who are you, we usually say, my name is Tim Howard. I give you a name, but I don't tell you really anything about me. Today I want to talk with you about you are someone who has been given authority. You are someone with authority. If you know Jesus Christ and you put your faith in Him, He has invested in you authority and power. Now, we're talking about having victory over sin and struggles, over those terminal tendencies. And believe me, if you are going to win the battle over the enemy and over your flesh, you're going to have authority. You're going to have authority. If you're here today and you're in need of some victory over some habits, maybe you need to have victory over some obsession that you have. Maybe there's an attitude shift that needs to happen in your life. You have a relationship breakdown, and you're not thinking pleasantly. Someone's causing you to leave sleep. You're wrestling with that. You need to have some victory. Then God's word for you today is very important for you to hear. You have authority. You are not powerless. You have authority and power. If you're taking notes, authority is the word exousia in the original language. It means you have a position, you have a placement, you have the privilege of being next to Christ. And the word power is the word dunamis, which means ability, the capability. Put together, it means you have the capability, you have a position in Christ that carries with it the ability to alter or change things, to adjust things, to make a difference. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus calls the 12 together, and it says He gives them authority, exousia, and power, dunamis. In chapter 10 of Luke, He calls 70 together, and He says He gave them authority and power. And in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, He opens the floodgates to all mankind. Whoever calls upon Him, He will give to all of us authority and power. We have keys. We have keys that will unlock doors. We are not helpless. Why is this? How is this possible? Because Matthew 28 says, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. Now, I want to give you a scriptural basis for that in the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles or you're on your phones or your iPads or on the PowerPoint, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, 18 through 22. Then I'll read chapter 2, verse 1, and then verses 2, chapter 2, 4 through 7 to give you a scriptural basis for that understanding that I just shared with you. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1:18, I pray that your eyes of the heart, your heart, may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparable great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead. And here it is now, kind of circle this or underline it, or at least take a note of it. And He did, and He seated Christ at the Father's right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and every name that's invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. So in other words, Jesus is the highest authority. God is the highest authority in our lives. Then he's given us his word, his written word, which is what we call veracic authority to rule our lives. And that's why we're reading this text of scripture. It's a veracic authority. It's the authority God's given to us to direct our lives. And he says he lifted Christ up. Now he says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed Jesus to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, since we are his body, then when he says all powers and authorities were put under his feet, that means it's been put under our feet as well. See, we are his church, we are his body, and we are literally his feet. He goes on, as for you, talking about you and me, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But, I love that word, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you've been saved. And here it is, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Now that's a position of authority. So he has given you a position of authority so that, in order that, in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. Boy, now having read that, there are so many powerful things that we could focus on. But if I were to choose one of those, this text underlines that God has given you and me authority in him. Lifted us up, seated us with Jesus in a place where we can rule. Does anybody find that incredible? I find that incredible, but I also find it incredulous. I have a difficult time when I look at my life. I have to think, why would Jesus want to do that? Why would God lift someone like me up? I visited a church in Fresno years ago. We were on vacation, so we went to this church, and I had heard about 500-600 people were in attendance at that time. And it's a different culture than I was used to, but I walked in with my wife, and we kind of looked around, and people were coming in and starting to fill up, and we chose a chair just about three or four rows from the back, just to kind of sneak in and see what was going on. And someone noticed me from they were on the worship team, and they noticed me coming in, and they evidently told one of the pastors that I was a pastor. I didn't ask them to do this, but that's what they did. And so in that assembly, I was kind of dressed like I am right now, and we sat down, and all of a sudden, one of the lead pastors came down and says, I understand that you're a pastor. We would love to have you come up on the platform and sit with us. And I'm thinking, I look around, and they've all got suits on, they've got something coming out of there, and they've got ties, and I'm looking like that. Says, I don't think so. You know, it was incredulous to me that I would be asked, knowing who I am, to sit on the platform with others in leadership. When you look at your life, do you feel it that way as well? I know that there are people who think they ought to have front row seats. There's something wrong if they don't get invited to the best table. Why isn't a table reserved for me? But most of us here, you and me, we're just connected. Hey, just let me in. I'd like to sit just somewhere, even if it's back there. It just seems to be so mind-blowing that someone would say, come on down and sit here with us. I mean, I look at me and I think, I come from Gardner, Maine. Has anybody ever heard of Gardner, Maine? No one has. 5,000 people, nowhere, nothing's happening there. And he chose me. It's kind of like, why, Lord? I was born into a family that mom and dad, we had no money. We weren't well known. We ran a garbage route. We did just stuff to barely get around. And yet, a little boy named Timmy, you call him and you lift him up to a place, and I have no money, but I've been to Israel a couple of times. Got no money, but I've been to Europe, and I've spoken in a dozen plus churches. I have no money, but I've been to India and spoken to leaders. I have no money, but I've been to Ethiopia and spoken to a bunch of leaders. Why, God? Do you ever feel that about your story, whatever your story is? Why did you reach down to someone who's down here and put them in a place of privilege, give them a position? We are in a power-hungry world where people don't want you to have any power. They want to keep you. They want you to grow, but they want you to grow like this. And that wasn't just in our day. That was in their day, too. Jesus said, hey, don't be like the Gentiles who lord it over people. They use their authority to lord it over people and to keep them in dominion. Here's Jesus saying, I want to share with you the power that I have. I want to give you the authority that I have. It is mind-boggling to me. And it's probably not you, but if you read the Bible, it was mind-boggling to David as well. David, what is my family? Man, you've made me king, and now you're telling me about the future? This stuff is just too good to understand. It's incredible. But he's done that, and he's given us authority. I want to talk with you about the one place. There's two places where God has given to us authority. It's in what you do and what you say. It's in your walk with God and the words that you speak on behalf of God. If you have your notes open, you'll notice that I've got both areas to cover, but I bit off more than we could all chew in one session. So I'm going to talk to us next week about our walk in Christ and how that releases the authority of God that he's given to us. But today I want to focus on our words, because what you say, what comes out of your mouth, what you put on your lips will determine greatly the level of authority that you have in his kingdom and in those lives around you. So it's important that we talk just a little bit about this. So these two areas, let's focus on our words. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:28. It says this: when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. See, now he had just spoken, he had just taught, and people were amazed because, verse 29 says, he taught as one who had authority. See, when you have an understanding of who you are in Christ and you speak from that knowledge, you sound different than someone who's talking about God from a textbook. Once you've had personal experience, you know, I can listen to people and they can say, God doesn't heal today. Well, I've been healed. Amen. And so you know, I don't care. I'm not at the mercy of someone with an argument because I have an experience. And so when you have that experience, you speak with an authority. Back in my day in the 60s in the hippies time, some of you don't even know what hippies were, but a group of people, they used to say, that usually it'd be there smoking a cigarette, but they'd say, boy, that's heavy. That's heavy. And what they were saying is, boy, your words mean something. It's actually the word respect. When you listen to someone and you give them respect, you're giving weight to their words. You're listening to what they have to say. So when they speak, you recognize there's something different about them. They're not talking to me as a parrot. They have really something to say. So your ears perk up. Now that's what Jesus did. When he spoke, that authority was revealed because God put authority into our mouth. In 1990, Donna and I got on a plane and flew to North Carolina. And we were in a transition in the church. We were probably right around 1,200 people at the time. And the Lord is so engrossed, it would eventually get up to over a couple of thousand in Fresno. But at that time, we were in transition. One staff person was going to leave, and I didn't know it at the time, but I was going to take their place. And on this plane trip, I read a book called Spiritual Leadership, written by Oswald Sanders, still available today. It's a very good book for you to read. As I'm reading this, it's talking about spiritual authority. And the Lord spoke to me as I read a certain a chapter on spiritual authority that had to do with your mouth. And I heard the Lord say, I'm going to make you a leader. And just like Sarah, when she heard that she was going to give birth to a child and she was of old age, she laughed. And I laughed and I says, good luck, God. You got your work cut out for you. I'm more of a manager than I am a leader. I'd like to think that I've made a little bit progress, but I took the staff to a global summit in Visalia on Thursday and Friday, and after I listened to all these great speakers, Bill Hybels and Craig Rochelle and a number of others, I went away encouraged, but on the other hand, like, God, have I made any progress at all? I've got miles and miles and miles to go before I sleep for that to happen. I felt sorry for my wife. She's been with me for 43 years. Look how much she hasn't made hardly any progress with me at all. You know, she's worked and worked and worked, and this is as far as I've gotten. And I look at my own life, and I feel that type of way. But he's given to us authority. Well, on that trip, the Lord spoke that, and I can't tell you what happened, but when I got back and I began to speak, I don't know if you can remember this, Don, or not, but there it was when Wayne was just leaving. When I began to speak, people began to listen to me differently. That was novel for me because no one ever listened to me. See, as long as no one's listening to you, it doesn't really matter what you say. But all of a sudden, you wake up one day and say, wow, people are actually listening. They might try some of the things that I suggest. They might go down the same path that I'm suggesting. Then all of a sudden, there's a weight of responsibility that begins to rest on you. And so there was a change that happened in my life. And I recognized I didn't sound different. I still got, even to this day, the same nasal sound. You know, I still stutter over a lot of words. I still have to, I make a lot of, you know, tangent statements and have to get back on track. Still talk that way, but something was different. God has put authority in your mouth. Your mouth is very, very important. There's two places that you can bring out life. Intimate relationships sexually, you can create life. Just like God created the world, you can create life by coming together. And your tongue has the power, Proverbs 18 says, of life and death. And so it's important that we understand that the place that he puts his authority is in our mouth. So the way that you talk, your words are very, very important. Now, I, having said all of that, I want to give you five ways that we undermine the authority God's put in our life. And I want us to look at a narrative from Numbers chapter 20. Verses 6 through 12, just six verses, and I want to extrapolate from there. I want to take from there five ways that we can erode the authority that God has given to us. This section I'm about to read is when Moses was having some problems with the people, and he was their leader. And God tells him, I want you to use my God-given authority, and I want you to speak to a rock, because they didn't have any water, and water's going to come out. But he didn't use the authority that God gave him. He lashed out, and he struck the rock. And this is the text that we read. Numbers 20, verses 6 through 12. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting, fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Everything's terrible. People are complaining. See, they loved Moses as long as he was a good leader and everything was going great. But when things started to fall apart, and all of a sudden they turned on him. You know, sometimes we love God like that, don't we? As long as he does what we want him to do, and everything's okay. Babe, we praise you, we worship you, we love you, you're awesome. And then the moment things don't go our way, all of a sudden we turn on him. You know, God's God regardless of where you're at. That's why we sing songs like, through the troubles and through the sun and through the rain, we're going to keep our eyes on God. Don't we want that? Don't we want to be loved? And don't we want God's love for us to not be based upon what we do or what we don't do? I want him to love me on a deeper basis than that. And that's what he wants too. He wants someone to say, I don't understand what's going on, but I love you. You know, I'm connected to you, and I don't ever want to leave you. So he goes on, they turned on, and then the Lord said this to Moses, take the staff, and your brother, Aaron, gather the assembly together. Speak to the rock. So that's because there was authority in his mouth. Speak to the rock before their eyes. And let me just stop right here. Told Ezekiel, go down to that valley of dry bones, speak to those dry bones, prophesy to the winds. Jesus, he spoke to the sea, be calm. God spoke things into being, this power that comes from our words. He says, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out water. You'll bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the presence, Lord's presence, just as he commanded it. So he was obedient. Then he gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and something happened. He just lost it. Listen, you rebels. Must we bring water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm, struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. They were all praising Moses. Oh, wow, what a leader. What a great leader. They're impressed. See, it's easy to impress people, but God wasn't impressed at all because he was disobedient. See, sometimes you can look very good in the eyes of people, but you don't look all that well because God sees your heart. He was disobedient. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you didn't trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give you. See, when you abuse authority, you cut yourself off from the blessing of God. It's a shameful thing to see someone in my position or someone in any position of leadership use their authority for selfish gain. And whenever it does, it erodes the authority that God has given to you. Okay, let me give you these five things. The first one, when you speak out of the flesh, and that's what Moses did. He spoke out of his human nature. When you speak words from the flesh and not from the spirit, you erode authority. Just as a side note, the name Moses means to draw out. And there are some, you know, when you study this passage, you know, you read the whole chapter, you can feel kind of empathetic for Moses. His sister had just died. He probably was distraught. He wanted to probably have some time alone. And people are complaining and pushing. Some people just are never satisfied with anything. I always want you to do this. Well, if you do this, you should have done that. If you sing fast songs, you should sing slow songs. Everything needs to change. And so it's kind of like, you know, I feel for the guy. He's in a situation. But he speaks out of the flesh rather than the spirit. Let me put it another way. He spoke what made him feel good, but it didn't do any good. Have you ever given a person a piece of your mind and, oh, it feels so good? Whoa. They deserved it. I told them just what they needed to hear. I put them in their place. See, when you speak out of the flesh, it makes you feel good, but it doesn't do all that much good. John Maxwell said, don't ever put someone in their place before you take time to put yourself in their place. Sometimes when you put yourself in their place, it begins to give you a different perspective, and you're not so quick to speak words. Now, I've got to tell you that when this is recorded, it's only one verse. It says Moses said, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? But see, that's like minutes in a board meeting. It's like minutes in an important meeting. The minutes that someone takes, they only jot down the overall thought. I can tell you that there were a lot of more words that were said there. With great confidence, I'll guarantee Moses was ticked off. You stinking, rotten, no good people. You've been a pain in my butt ever since I was called to lead you, and here you are again. You complain over this. And he went on and on and on. That's what I believe happened. He began to speak in his flesh. Let no corrupt talk, Ephesians 4:27-29. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up and fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. He didn't do that. Whenever you allow yourself to ventilate, to vent, and speak words of the flesh, that comes from your human nature. His name, as I said, means to be drawn out. Miriam, because of the time that he was born, had to put him in the water. And it says she took him out. And Pharaoh said, his name is Moses. He's been drawn out. James says, When you're tempted, you're tempted with your lust, and then you are drawn away. And when you're out of position, when you're out of your placement, you're susceptible to your human flesh. And that's what happened to Moses. He was susceptible. He gave in to his human name, Moses, and allowed the enemy to draw him away. Secondly, the second thing that erodes our authority is when you speak out of frustration and not love. See, frustration is what generally causes us to speak in words from the flesh. I usually don't deal with things when I should. If you do that one more time, I'm going to spank you. I told you, if you do that one more time, I'm going to spank you. 16 times later, I'm telling you, one more, and all of a sudden, you come out fighting. See, when I don't deal with things at the appropriate time, and I put them on the back burner, Psalms 19, David says, keep me from presumptuous sins. It's the word boiling over. See, if you keep something simmering inside of you, it's going to boil over at some point. The way to deal with that is to get that out, to talk about it, to share it. Don't keep it inside, because if you keep it inside, eventually I'm going to hit a wall. And when I hit a wall, believe me, you don't want to see Tim Howard hit a wall. I've hit too many of them. I try very hard not to wait until the wall. But frustration will cause you to speak words of the flesh instead of words of love. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead speak truth in love. In that way, we're going to grow up and we'll become in every respect the mature body who is like Jesus Christ, who is the head, who is the head. But people can frustrate you. Do people ever frustrate you? Man, some of you are ticking me off right now, I tell you. That's only a joke. Now, listen, here's what Psalms 106 says. This refers to this specific time. It says, by the waters of Meribah, they angered the Lord. The Israelites angered the Lord, and trouble came to Moses because of them. They rebelled against the Spirit of God, and rash words came from Moses' lips. Because people frustrate, and they frustrate us too. I'm going to tell you straight, you aren't going to believe it. I'm in Sears. I'm waiting to return something. This is years and years and years ago. And there's a woman in front of me. And she's standing there. Listen, if you ever have to, if you work with retail, and you have to deal with people, it can be a real frustrating job. Believe me. Some people said in the ministry, if it weren't for people, the ministry would be wonderful. See, we all get frustrated at times. This woman standing in front of me, she's returning a pair of sweats. And those sweats have a green grass and a hole in the knee. And she says, I'm returning this because when we bought them, I didn't notice this. I just lost it. Scott, come on. And then they actually gave her money back. I did not understand that at all. People can frustrate the... I mean, that was like 20 years ago. I still remember that incident. That's how indelibly imprinted it is in my mind. It impacted me. I get frustrated just thinking about it. Have you met people who just, you give them something, you try to be nice to them, and then they feel like they got a spirit of entitlement with a whole lot of other spirits on them, and they don't say please, they don't say thank you, they just start demand. Listen, have you met someone like that? If you haven't, then you're one of them. It's a good way to notice if you are. When you speak out of frustration and not love, you erode your authority. Thirdly, when you speak to the people and not to the problem, you'll erode your authority. See, he was not supposed to speak to the people. He was supposed to speak to the rock. If you've ever got a mountain in your way, you got to speak to that mountain. Now, every once in a while, you'll have to climb it. Sometimes you'll go around it. Sometimes you go through it. There's different ways. Faith will take you in a variety of different ways. You can't lock God into any one way. Because sometimes climbing a mountain is the way that God teaches you things. Sometimes if you don't want to learn, you have to go around the mountain a couple of times. And then you have to tunnel through. But there are some times when he puts faith in your mouth and you have to remove that mountain. He says, if you have some faith, you can speak to a mountain and say it, but you don't speak to the person who you think is the problem. You speak to the mountain that is the problem. Ephesians 6, 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Sometimes we think that people are the problem, so we speak to them, but it's not the problem. The enemy is many times the problem behind that. Does that make sense? It's so easy when a problem confronts you, something goes wrong. I know this in leadership. You do too if you're in a position of leadership. You own a business or you oversee something. Something goes wrong. What do you want to do? Well, sometimes I'll succumb to, I want to find out who screwed up. I want to find out who did this? Why didn't this happen? Because what I want to do, I want to blame them. I want to light into them. How could you do this? Why didn't you see this? This should never have happened. How come you? This was on your shift. Why didn't you do this? See, we get so sidetracked to talking to the people, and we never address the problem. Issue's not the people. The issue's the problem. You'd be a lot better. Your authority will grow if you keep focused on what's the solution. Don't get sidetracked on putting people down. We all make mistakes. You know, we all can criticize people. But your authority will be eroded if you, in fact, speak to the people, not the problem. Well, let me just sum up and conclude by talking about two other things very quickly. Sometimes our authority erodes because we speak up when we should shut up. He should never have talked to the people, you know? I've learned that with my wife. Sometimes I get so ticked off. This hasn't happened for a few years, but there have been times in the past where, man, I'm telling you, if I just open my mouth just a little bit, it's gone. It's like a floodgate. So the best thing for me, and that, maybe this is immature, but I mean, the best thing for me is just shut my mouth. There's sometimes we lose the victory because we speak up when we should shut up. But there are other times when we lose the victory and we don't want, because we remain silent and we don't speak up. Some of you are here today and you may be wrestling with things and you're trying to find victory, but you haven't shared with anybody. You're keeping a secret life. See, the key to your and my victory over terminal tendencies, whether they be habits or attitudes, the way we think, is to use our mouth to confess to one another. Confess your sins. Get it out there. Don't stay alone. Be accountable to someone. At this conference, Craig Rochelle, this last week, who's a pastor of thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Texas, he said, I've done a couple of things. I've given two people permission to oversee my email account and to oversee my computer. They can have access anytime. They've got access anytime. I want to be accountable. I don't want to live in silence. I don't want to live isolated. I've made some of those types of decisions myself. I don't, unless there's a coincidence, I never have lunch with a woman by myself. I'll never counsel someone with my windows down. There are certain decisions I've made so that I can be above reproach if I ever were brought into scrutiny. And so sometimes we don't get healed and we don't find victory because we don't share what's going in. See, what's in your mouth is so very important, because what you speak is the index to your mind. See, I can tell what's going on in your mind by listening to the way you speak. This message is not really for you, by the way, as much as it is for me, because I've had to adjust some things. I've known for a long time that the way I talk needs to have some adjustment. And it's not necessarily the way I talk with people, even though I can always grow in that area, but it's the way I talk to myself. See, if you don't adjust, if you and I don't embrace an understanding that our words have to be truth, seasoned with grace, seasoned with truth, rather than speaking lies, we will put a lid on our own growth. I fear, some of you have never even heard this term, but there's a segment of people in Christianity that believe in what they call the name it and claim it theology. If I speak it and declare it, it'll come into being. I've never bought into that understanding because I think it's too simplistic. There are other things that are involved. It's not just about naming it and claiming it. There's other that we have a walk that we have to discuss next week. How is your lifestyle? Because there's an authority, not just in what you say, but what you say to others through your lifestyle. But having said that, I got to tell you, there's something important about us understanding the power of our words and coming to a place where we understand that I can't stop saying, well, I'm powerless. No, you're not. You are someone with authority. And as long as you continue to declare those lies, you'll never gain victory. Well, I can't do anything. Yes, you can do something. Well, I'm nobody. Yes, you are. You're a son. You're a daughter of God. Well, I mean, we heard it last week. You're valuable. You're his temple. You're in process. You are because he is. You have authority. You and I have to somehow come to grips with, and my talk is my self-talk. See, I got to talk to myself differently. And I know that, and I've started to make some changes even this week. Now listen, I know that it's hard when we talk about the tongue. And it's not just hard, James says it's impossible to tame the tongue. So I that's why we need Jesus. That's why we need to have God. How many of you have problems with your tongue? Is there anybody here like me? I've got my hand up. Is there? Yeah, you have some, you're in good company. Moses did too. I can't lead. Why? I don't know how to talk. Who made the mouth? God says, I made the mouth. I'll put words in your mouth. Isaiah, he had some problems. He's a pretty well-known guy in the Old Testament. Saw God. Oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. God dealt with that, helped him. See, he can help you and me too. But we've got to ask. And I want God to do a little bit of surgery in us today. I go to the dentist at least twice a year, and the dentist I go to is a good friend of mine. His name is K.O. Crosby, a wonderful man. He's been to Albania on several occasions, helping the medical profession by serving thousands of children and people who have no access to dentistry. And every time I go there, someone else will usually do the cleaning of the teeth and all of that stuff. And he'll always come in at the end, because he does it with every patient. And he takes a piece of gauze, and he has some gloves on. He takes a piece of gauze, and he puts the gauze on my tongue and takes my tongue. Now, I don't know if your dentist does this or not, but, you know, it's a little uncomfortable, you know. So he takes my tongue, and he pulls it out. It's like, hey, come on now. And he pulls it out, and he'll wag it over here, and he'll take it over here. And I said, what are you doing that for? Because I don't really like that. And he says, I'm looking for signs of disease. And I think that you and I need to pause and let the Holy Spirit have the opportunity to look in our mouth and to see if there's any disease in there. I'm thinking of things like, is there any gossip that's going on? Is there any crass jesting that's going on? Is there any dirty talk, dirty words that are going on? Is there any words that are criticizing and murmuring? One of the big problems that the Israelites had, they, out of their mouth, they were always complaining. See, sometimes he has to touch your lips, but he has to touch your mind, because as I said a few moments ago, the words are the index to what's going on in your mind, so he has to touch your mind. But then he has to even reach down in deep and touch your heart sometimes, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks, it says. So out of the mouth, out of the heart, the mind gains energy and it releases it. And you and I have been given authority. We can have victory. Whatever habit you've wrestled with, you know, you can have victory over that. There is power in those relationships. You know, that person in your life doesn't have the power to take away your joy. But you've let them take your joy away. You can take that back. You have authority over that. You know what I mean? I can love anyone. I'm not gonna give you my power. I'm not gonna give you the ability to ruin my day. I'm not gonna let you rise above the authority God's given to you. So but you do have to start. So Alfred gave us a moment or two. and a few moments of worship ago, and he says, I want to give you an opportunity to sing. I want to give you an opportunity to speak. See, take advantage of those moments. Don't just sit there and wait for everybody to get done. No, speak your praises. I'm not talking about thinking your praises. That's okay, but you've got to speak. You've got to train your tongue. You walk in your house, and if things are going bad, you start declaring. Wait till everybody's gone, and you just walk. You start saying, I declare this is your house, God. You are king of all the world, and you're king of this house. I love you, Lord, and I proclaim your promise, and you begin to declare his promises. Is that all you need to know? No, but that's one thing that you have authority over. I don't have authority over you. But I am declaring what I believe to be God's word today, and if that is his word and you receive it, it will have authority over your life. So you and I have got to begin to declare the truth. Who are you? You'll never be victorious unless you not start to know who you are. You are in Christ. You're in transition. You're his temple. You're valuable. And today, you have authority. You have authority. Here's the challenge. This week, listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. Listen to yourself when it comes up, when it comes out, when it comes up in your mind. And when you start to say something that is wrong, stop as quickly as you can. Get along. Say, God, forgive me. I just criticized that person. That was not edifying. That came out of my mouth. Oops, forgive me, Lord, for thinking this and saying this because I shouldn't have done that. That was coarse jesting. That was not appropriate. Thank you, Lord. I mean, you're going to be so busy every day. You may have to take a few days vacation because you're going to be so busy just checking your life. I don't know. It's so important. We get a hold of our mouths. It's not the end all, but he's put authority in your mouth, and he's put authority in your walk. We'll talk about that next week. Stand with me. Let's give the Holy Spirit, as you stand in his presence, to put his fingers now. Just close your eyes and put his fingers on your tongue. He's going to pull it out now. Just see him doing that and looking for any disease. You don't have to raise your hand if you've got some disease, but if he notifies you of something, then be committed this week to start to deal with that. Just as Beth continues to play, just for a moment, allow the Holy Spirit to do that surgery. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. It's not enough for me, Father, to declare your word. You need Holy Spirit to speak to us. What are you saying to us individually? What words need to be put in our mouths? What words need to cease? Thank you, Lord. 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 We sang to you today, Father, about your spirit that you've given to us. We said, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. And I want you to be welcome in this building whenever we gather. But I want you to be welcome into this place, my temple, my body, these individuals. We welcome you to go inside of us and do the surgery. We really can't tame the tongue. We speak good and then we speak bad, and these things shouldn't be because it erodes our authority away. And I pray that you would do surgery. Help us this week to find you and see you in the way that we talk. Let me conclude by saying this, and you can just look at me. Bible says, if you believe in your heart that he is God, and you confess with your mouth, you'll experience salvation. See, there's a heart belief, but when they come together, when your heart believes and your mouth speaks, it's like a chemical reaction to the combination of those two chemicals. It's called power. You've ever seen certain chemicals come down? There's a big explosion. Big explosion. When you believe and you confess, when you put your mouth into gear, not just from your mind, but it says make melody in your heart. When you sing from your heart, not sing from your mind, when you speak from your heart, you'll come together and boom, the power of God is released. It's called his authority, and it's above every authority. All powers are subject to him. And I pray that we will grow in that. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus, then you have no access to that authority in your life. You'll continue to struggle with your own struggle, but you'll never be victorious totally, because you need to incorporate Him in your life. And He has the ministry and I have the need, and I'm coming to Him to start to walk with Him. And that can happen today. God bless you today. Thanks for coming. Let's watch our mouth this week. Let's grow on our authority over sin and struggles. God bless you today.